You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Ignore? I don't know. Did I let you in? Yeah, you in. Doing. All right. So, hold up. I ain't gone live over here. Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Can We Be Frank Show. We are on part two of Make It Make Sense to Me while I wait for everybody to come in. You know, you can't play music because I don't want Facebook to go crazy on me. So, there we go. I'm trying to make a mistake right there. I don't want Facebook to go crazy on me and say I can't play the music and ban this whole show. So, just be patient with me on that. Hello. Welcome to Universal Collective Network. Just give me some time. I want people to call in. I need somebody. I need you guys to come over on Blog Talk. You can go on Blog Talk and listen in. Let me make sure this is up. Ooh, turn it down. Let's see. The number for Blog Talk is 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. Okay, let's see, make sure I got everybody in here. This phone is so different from, let's see, here we go, 563-999-3576. If you want to call in, you can also listen to us here over here on Universal Collective Network. So while I wait for Mr. Porter to call in, I don't want to talk too much because I want everybody to come on in. Let's see. Okay, I got everybody over here. Got to make sure I got everybody on here. Send out the notice. Okay. All right, so today is Thursday. We are on the last day of the month, the last Thursday of the month of April. April came in and slipped on out, gave us some rain, a couple storms, and then just left. Just said, forget it, I'm out. But there's a lot of stuff that went on. I definitely want, let me see if I can get Mr. Porter to come on, call in. Yeah, just give me a second here. Because I really want him. See if he can get, I know he's out of town right now. Let's see if he got the info.
Hey, Selena.
Yes. I sent you the information.
I'm trying to connect through this hotel thing.
Okay.
And I'm just getting that rotating signal.
Oh.
So they must be having some problems. So I guess I'll just have to call in on myself.
Yeah, can you call in on your cell phone?
Okay, I'll do that.
Bye-bye. Now see if he can do that. Okay. Oh, what's that? Okay. Okay, hi, you guys. Be in your video. Okay, let's see. Okay, all right. Hello?
Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
How are you doing? It's good to see you.
Who's
Merry
this?
Christmas.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to see who this is. Somebody real close up. I can't see who it is.
It's a black person.
No, not you. I'm talking to somebody else. Hi.
Oh, it's probably another black person.
Okay. All right. So, oh, hold up. Sorry. Hello.
Hey. Okay, this is Gerb Reporter.
Okay, hold up. Hold up.
She's got an anniversary follower badge.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Linda Thomas.
Hey, wait a minute. I got Mr. Porter on the phone. Now, he's on my computer, and my computer is not loud. I don't have my hookup for my speaker to what you call that. You know what I'm talking about, Bluetooth it in. So you got to talk, like, real loud, Mr. Porter, if you can.
You probably need a microphone. You got a microphone?
No, I don't have – all that stuff is packed away. I don't have that. Tonight, you guys, we're definitely going to get deep into this conversation. Like I said, Make It Make Sense to Me is the name of the show. So we're going to go deep into that tonight. I was waiting for Ms. Velma to come in. Ms. Velma haven't come in yet. But welcome to the show, young lady. I didn't see who you were, but thank you for tuning into our show. So we're going to talk about a couple of things tonight that kind of came to me today. And one of the things I want to talk about is we have this upcoming election, right, you guys, coming up. They'll qualify in July. And I think once they qualify in July, I think they need to immediately start doing forums especially when it comes to District 2, okay? Because what I'm realizing is, and I'm not going to go deep into it, but I want you guys to understand that very much so pay attention to vetting these candidates, okay? Because what I'm seeing is that when we talked about this on the show, every time election come up, we tell you guys to vet these people, vet. Because what I'm seeing is that a lot of people don't know the rules. They don't know the rules. And not only they don't know the rules, it's what is your real reason why you're running? One person, a potential candidate, I saw one of his – okay, there you go. You there, Mr. Porter? You there?
Okay.
You in two places?
Yeah, so I'll get off the phone.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
If you can move whatever device you have the people calling in on, if you can move that closer to your camera, microphone, whatever you got going on over there, you'll be able to hear. We can hear them.
Okay. Talk as loud as you can. Okay.
No, don't yell.
Okay. But anyway, like I was saying, okay. So I got a picture. I mean, I got one of the guys who's running potential candidate. And I was basically kind of reading what he has out there. What's amazing is, hello, Brother Jay. Hi, Brother Jay. I love you, guy. You know you're my best. what I was looking at was he named all his accolades like you would start a resume. You know how you start a resume and you tell all the information? Okay, but you don't talk about what you can do for the community. You don't talk about past community activities. Because for me, if I lived in that neighborhood and I have somebody running for an office, I need to know that that person can interact with the community. Like, say in your church, you work with the youth, you mentored somebody. I need to know that about you because most communities have children in them. So I need to know that you'll have a good rapport with children, okay?
I read something that you read. I want to say this. Now, I don't care how much work you've done outside of the community. I want to say this, that the gentleman that I read, that flyer that I read, it did come across as a resume type deal, you put down all these accolades and these awards and the military honor. I get that, and I appreciate mm-hmm. your service.
Yes, veterans.
So that's all well and good and nice, but my problem becomes when you have this much, intelligence and know-how and experience, you could easily take out one of the sitting councilmen at large.
Yeah.
Easily, handily, you could.
Yeah.
But instead, you vote for the district that I guess you reside in, which is all well and good. We're not playing their game the way that they play it, because you could be out of District 4 and have a candidate that runs at large, and they'll have no problem with that. But you can't be out of a black district and have a councilman that will run at large, as if we cannot defeat that at-large seat.
Which we have already.
That gentleman, we've done it before. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
My point exactly. So more so than you look at the candidates, look at their motives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Look at the reason why they're running.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't said a square reason why they're running.
Yeah.
Why am I running? I'm running to a better what? What are you running for?
Mm-hmm. I said that. Yeah, I definitely said that. I agree with that.
With that, Mr. Porter and the guy with that incredible resume, I think with the duo, the two of them, I believe they could flip Alexandria upside down and shake it loose.
Well, not necessarily. I'm going to tell you why not necessarily. Let me tell you why I have a little bit more issues about that. Because even though you've done all these great things, it still doesn't tell me, because you got to look at what you got in the mayor's seat right now. You got a corporate man sitting in the mayor's seat at this moment. He is what you call a corporate man, which means he's corporate. So he's not, as you can see, he doesn't have a clue of how to take care of the community, because we voted him in there by the stuff that he talked about. He is a corporate man. Yes, we on Zoom now. I just sent you the email. Wait a minute, you guys. Ms. Velma, I sent you the email.
Wait.
I need to tell Ms. Velma something. Ms. Velma, go into your messenger, and I got the information in there, okay? And I am on Zoom, baby, okay? I sent it to you, okay? So,
somebody asked me a really good question about when Mayor Hall was running. What did she say? Can you pinpoint one thing that was memorable that he said he would change?
Nope, not off the bat.
Obama
effect? Nope. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So in that same point, hold up. In that same point, you put him, he's got this big, nice, sort of like resume, but he doesn't say what he can do for the community or for his district. He's not talking about that, because I don't care if I haven't even registered or qualified. If I say I'm running, these are the things that I want to talk about. I want to have a platform. You guys got to remember what y'all did. When I say you guys, I'm talking about District 1 and District 3. Y'all people didn't have a platform to run on. So they ran and they won. And you see what you got now. You got prayer walks and spirit walks and people dying in your streets and in your communities. Why they got $10 million. Hold up. Let me finish talking. Why they got $10 million better places for jobs, because they're building jobs over there. They're building houses. They make a better income. And they totally ignore y'all. And he's been in office 3 years. 3 years. And how many deaths have we had since he's been in office? What I'm trying to say is, when we go to vet these people to run, they've got to have a solid foundation, and they have to have a platform. And these people didn't have a platform, and y'all put them in that office 3 years ago, and y'all got absolutely nothing in 3 years. You got somebody who faked tearing down a home, okay, faked the whole thing. It was illegal how he did it. And y'all allowed that. Nobody said anything. Nobody protested. You got them giving Johnny Downs, because Johnny Downs is our biggest headache. You gave them $6.5 million on top. You just gave them another $700,000, and it's all for y'all. It's your money. It's not their money. It's your money. Y'all gave it to them. So my thing is, they don't have a platform. I understand sports is important, but that shouldn't be the only thing we do. Those kids, let me tell you, I put up on my Facebook page, if you go to You Can't Clip My Wings, I put some stats about mental health. Everything we talked about the other day, last Tuesday on the show, it's in that doggone stats report about mental health. Those kids need help. They need mental attention. They're saying in the stats, it's saying that the African-American kids are getting educated about mental health, but nobody's doing the action. Because we all can be educated, but nobody's doing the action to further getting them the help they need. I can talk about it. I can tell you all about mental health. But what am I doing to solve the problem with the mental health? How am I treating the mental health, the depression, the bipolar, the suicidal idea? How am I treating that? That's what's not happening in our Black community.
If everybody would just attend River Fest and Winter Fest, we'd be all right. Okay, if we could get our kids enrolled in the Johnny Downs and playing baseball and softball.
That's not the answer.
They would be okay.
That's not the answer.
No.
That's
that
not. Sports is fine for exercise and a sense of belonging, but it doesn't solve the problem. When those kids leave that baseball field, that sports complex or whatever, they're going home to a house that's probably atrocious, okay? They're going home to a danger. And they don't have anybody to talk to. So that's why it needs to go beyond that. But I'm saying this, and I don't want to kind of go all over the place with this conversation, but I was trying to make a point before I forget that all the stuff that we talked about the other night on the show actually was what I found in this research I did about mental health. Everything that we talked about how our kids are being neglected mentally and how the mental health situation is worse than it used to be because of the pandemic, because of all the different things that these kids have been going through. You got kids who's actually witnessing people dying in the streets. Don't you understand that's a PTSD thing? That's a trauma thing? So they should have people in places that help these kids. It's not in the schools, you guys. It's not in the schools. It's at home because they didn't see anybody die in school. They saw them die in the streets in their neighborhoods. It needs to be somebody coming together, creating a mental health group, an organization that can come out and talk to these kids, if nothing else. And don't tell me that there's no money to do it because that's bull crap. It's all kind of grant money out there for mental health for our children. So some organization needs to create a mental health organization, get the money, and pay those pay them the psychologists or the psychiatrists or therapists and get them on board and let them work with these kids. There's no excuse for our children to be living like this the way that they live. It doesn't make any sense. Now, like I said...
Can we take a broader look at things? I was doing the voice earlier. I'm not here to entertain. The facts are that a lot of our homes and our communities are cost burden. When I say cost burden, I'm saying the bills are super high. You got multifamily homes that are existing in these communities where the young lady got shot in her house.
Yeah.
She wasn't even outside, nor was she a part of. Come on, y'all. But inside these homes, right,
mm-hmm.
we're dealing with people with these utility bills. You have landlords.
Mm-hmm.
You got landlords that are overpricing these properties. The cost burden is incredibly excessive. People's answer to a lot of things is to, Robin's partner with C. Ray Lewis, offer some service free of charge. Yes, we need to make that more public. If they got partnerships that are already working but just don't have the outpouring, yeah, we need that. Just like we need the utility assistance. Just like we need rental assistance, we need all these things to work together, just the way, the same way that the city council is working together to get all these miscellaneous funds, all this money. We need things in the community. We need to work together the way they work together. Because the way they working together, they all winning all the time.
Exactly. And you need to get people on that council.
Yeah.
You need to have people on that council and regardless of what anybody thinks about Councilman Porter, we work with him closely. We talk to him all the time. He is what we need. We need about three or four of them on that city council. And I guarantee you what needs to be done for the whole Alexandria can happen. But you guys got to keep this in mind. Whenever they come in office, when I say they, you know, what is the first thing they do? They make sure their people is taken care of. When we get in office, we change our whole setup. We tell people we're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to take care of the black community. We're going to do this. And then they turn around when they get in that office. I'm in here for everybody. No. No. They don't. But you never notice they say, they don't say that. They come in. They make the backdoor deals. They get votes out on the doggone in the city council that's going to favor them. That's how they got $700,000 for Johnny Downs again this last past week. Because they've already talked about it, they got the votes in, and they got the money. We don't do that. We get in office, and we want to hold hands with everybody. We want to hold hands with all the people who did us wrong, who kept neglecting us, who kept voting against us. That's what we want to do, okay? You guys, if you know the history of the city council, and I'm telling you from years of being watching them and videotaping them and being part of them, they have voted consistently against anything that had anything to do with the black community, consistently. All you have to do, if you don't believe me, go back and go through those minutes like we did, and go back through those minutes and look at the voting record of all the people who's sitting up there, well, the old ones that's been there. Lee Rubin. Look at Lee Rubin's the way he voted. Look at Villard, how he voted. Look at the way that Fowler voted. Look at the way Roosevelt voted when he was on there, okay? Look at the way they voted. Yes, look at the way that they voted. And you'll see, when you look at their voting record, you can see that they're not about us. And you can see where you're in your area, your community is being deprived because they vote. Even Silver even voted against y'all. Anything that had anything with improving the black community, they voted against it. So that's why I say it's very important to vet the candidates that you're saying that's going to be all for you. Vet them. Because I promise you, when they get in there, their whole attitude changes. Because somebody's going to already be in their ear if they haven't been paid to be put in the race. Now, if we want to talk about that, we're going to talk about that.
That's the reason they're running.
Okay.
They're running because somebody is in their ear.
Somebody is already going to start putting people that's going to be supporting and backing people in the race already against Mr. Porter. Anybody who's trying to do good, they sit there and vote against everything Mr. Porter tried to bring for y'all. But they had y'all so hoodwinked and bamboozled that y'all even wanted to sign a recall when he was in there fighting about them taking that money and putting it into Johnny Downs. Do y'all understand what voter suppression? I want somebody to put in the chat, what is voter suppression? So I'm going to tell y'all something, what you guys are experiencing every time they pay for somebody to run against your candidate. I'm not saying a person that's voluntarily running against them. I'm talking about the ones they pay. That is a form of voter suppression because they lied to you to get that person in there. They convinced you to vote for him because he lied and said he's going to do something for y'all, and he doesn't do anything. That's voter suppression. That is a form of voter suppression.
That's your $5 in a book, cops handle.
That's right. All you got to do is read the book. It tells you. It's voter suppression. What they're doing to you guys each and every time they put somebody, the Republicans, Democrats, whoever it is, put somebody in the race that they paid to run. Okay? They paid to run.
You being pimped.
So I don't want to say, I say bamboozled. Tavares says you're being pimped. I'm saying bamboozled and hoodwinked because they did not, when they got in those positions they're in now, none of them had a platform. And y'all went out there and voted them in. Y'all voted them in.
You know what a pimp does?
Tell me what a pimp does.
A pimp profits off of work that he don't got to do.
That's right.
If you can't tell me that them people that tricked us all them years that ain't made a profit, ain't turned a profit mm-hmm. off of the fact that they didn't have to do any of the work other than what they were told.
That's right.
So they being pimped and in turn they pimping you for your vote.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, voting is important. Voter education is important. But you got to know for yourself. That's the other thing we've been talking about. When you know the truth for yourself, I don't have to convince you on who the best candidate is.
Nope.
I don't have to support.
No, because you're going to know it yourself. You're going to know it yourself. You're going to know who that person is for you.
But we got people willing to spoon feed us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Spoon feed us their truth.
Yep.
And it's not objective. It's very subjective. They going to tell you he's not doing X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
They going to tell you I can change X, Y, and Z. And the point that I'm through with the whole election politics, like, we need to grow past these smoke and mirror games placed before us. That's what Alley-Oop said. If we can't, the election part is so important because that is our voice in city council.
Yeah.
If we can't get a voice in city council, then there is no funding. If we don't have no funding,
mm-hmm.
you get what we got.
Yeah. And we keep putting the same people in there.
We're still behind by leaps. We still behind
mm-hmm.
financially. Our communities suffer financially.
Over 20, maybe about close to 25 years or more, we're behind in our in districts 1, 2, and 3. We're about 25 years behind or more.
And when they deal with the former council, with the four black councilmen, you're talking about not giving them not even a full four-year term together
mm-hmm.
to roll back with 30, 40 years of
yep.
oppression. Well, let's just go back to 1914. Just 1914. We'll give it that much. You gave them 4 months or 2 years all together
mm-hmm.
to roll back with when that's 1914.
Yeah.
And then guess who came and said that, look, they doing it wrong. They doing it wrong. Somebody that ain't even been involved 12 months.
Yep. That's right. That's right. Sure did.
So the next time, the best thing to do is know the truth for yourself. Get
mm-hmm.
out there in the community and don't let nobody tell you no statistics. Touch and talk to these families. You want to be involved? Reach out to these people that you see passing by every day. Reach out to them and say, hey, brother, look, what we need? Hey, sister, look, what you think we need?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a politician to be that or say that or ask that.
Nope.
If you notice, then the people that's running, that ran, or these false prophets, that I call them false prophets, none of them came to nobody and said, hey, brother, what you think we need in the community? Well, hey, brother, sister, what you think we need in the community? They know the truth. The
mm-hmm.
ones that's being pimped, they know what the community needs. That's why they're not giving it to you.
Mm-hmm. Because they're taught to. They're paid not to give it to you. You look at this last election. Let's look at the whole dynamics of the last election that happened and how they got rid of Jules Green. They got rid of Fuller and how they got rid of Malcolm. Look at what they did. The three strongest people on that doggone city council, along with Mr. Porter, that could have made a difference for your neighborhoods and your communities, because that's who they were for, 1, 2, and 3, and city councilmen at large, because that's what Mr. Fuller was running for. They took them out of their seats. They told y'all a bunch of bull crap about them, and y'all ran to those polls and voted them completely out of their seats. When y'all realized it was too late, when y'all realized that was the wrong thing to do, and now you have an opportunity to correct that, because guess what they're doing now? They're getting ready to go back after Mr. Porter again, okay? You got Gary Johnson running. Rumor is, and this is just rumor, Mitzi going to get in the race. Who else? I think Roosevelt going to run, supposed to be running for city council at large, or maybe at the same time running after, what's the name? I'm thinking that's the little rumor that he might be trying to get back in the race. So do you guys see the cycle, okay, that's happening?
Yes,
and you
yes.
have to look at who is endorsing these people to run against Mr. Porter. And why would you want to take Mr. He hasn't done anything. And he votes with them. He's another one. If you go back and look at his voting record, Roosevelt votes
yeah.
with some white folks, okay?
And
he's been doing it for ages. Ever since he's been in there, he's been doing it. So if you look at you, I mean, we told you guys this the last time on the last election, check their voting records. If they've held an office, check their voting record. Okay? It's a public, you can go back and check it. All you got to do is go on the City of Alexandria website and go up under their minutes and pull out minutes I mean, it's years of minutes you can pull out and watch how they voted. And they voted consistently against anything that's going to improve the doggone communities like 1, 2, and 3.
Do you see how much we argue and filibuster over anything in the black community?
Yeah.
But when the white people need it,
they get it
right off the bat.
We vote for it out right off the bat. We argue. You got your mayor that didn't want to go through with the budget. He wanted to take them to court about the budget. Why would you do that?
Still in court. Still in court.
Yeah. And Mr. Just because Mr. Porter found some stuff that needed to be moved around, he wants to put it in court and hold it up in court. You look at what he's done since he's been in there. He fires the black officers and the black employees, and then he turns around and allow Markoff, I'm saying his name, to resign. He let Jared King resign. Y'all don't see a problem with that? And y'all want him again in there for another 4 years? He has been totally silenced on these murders and these shootings. You want him back in there again? Nat said we only fight each other.
The only time we step up to the microphone to argue with anybody is when it's another black person. We're not going to argue with them.
No, it's not even them. We'll run away from arguing with them. I don't run away because I have argued with them up on that city council. I've argued to the point where, look, we get kicked out, huh? So we've always spoke up against what's going on. It's you guys. Because, see, I can say this. We don't live in your community. We don't live in your community, so we don't know how it actually impacts you. We only see it and what people have told us, and we have friends and family that live in your community. But you guys can make the difference by standing up and saying enough is enough. When is it enough is enough? When are y'all going
to
get tired of the same thing over and over? Every 4 years, you get the same results. You had people in there that was making a difference, and they got you guys to get them out of office. Do y'all see? Now, I want anybody who live in those districts to hit me up in the chat and tell me what has been improved since y'all put those new people in office. I want somebody to tell me anything. Anybody on here? Nothing? She says nothing. What's your name, ma'am? Nothing. Ms. Velma, she lives in District 3.
Adrian.
Nothing. Adrian?
This is Adrian.
Okay. Adrian said nothing. Anybody else? Anybody else? Which district you live in, Adrian, baby?
I live in District 1.
Okay. She's in District 1. So tell me, since they've been in office, what have they changed since they've been in there? And your city councilman.
I'm pretty sure they had drugs in them houses.
But the people as a whole won't step up. Okay, but I tell you what. Sometimes you have to find other ways of getting their attention. You just got to find a way. We don't all have the answers to this. But you can get together and realize what is not being benefited in your neighborhood with these people in office. And y'all
can I tell you what's going to happen?
What?
This is what's going to happen. District 2 is going to be gentrified. District 3 is going to be gentrified. District 1 will be gentrified. It might take one or two elections. It might take three or four elections.
Yeah.
But them black folks, the majority of Alexandria will flip. It's that thin of a line.
Yeah. Because that's what they're doing.
They'll flip. If people will get bought out, that is what you're being set up for.
That's right. Because, see, y'all, when y'all sitting at home, when y'all sleeping at night, they're in these little secret meetings at their homes because, you know, they live in nice neighborhoods and they can have parties and barbecues all day, all night long, and they sitting up planning your demise.
Yeah, they're not worried about the bullets coming in and killing
them. No, because you know why? Because
right.
They got
yeah.
surveillance cameras around their homes. Somebody, I made the comment on one of the posts.
Wait, hold up, wait a minute. The people from District 4 marched their happy asses down there to District 2. But oh no, they marched their happy asses down there to District 1 and went to the police headquarters
and
held a meeting. they held a meeting about hearing gunshots, about maybe we might get robbed.
They sure
maybe
did.
Our houses are getting broken.
They sure did.
So don't tell me.
Yep.
They came. What we are not doing is what they are doing.
Doing, yeah.
And the sooner we wrap our heads around that, the better we'll be.
They sure
what
did.
They are doing is organizing.
They sure did.
And look how long it takes them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they organized around Johnny Downs. The same damn group of people organized around when King got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
The same damn group of people got organized around when they heard gunshots.
Yeah.
When you go down in the District 1 down Bolton Avenue and Mary
mm-hmm.
Street, Mary Street is the dividing line between Districts 1 and Districts 4.
Yeah.
And you see half of Mary Street tote the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it, caved. I mean, you could ride a glass bicycle down there if you wanted to,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't break.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
the, there's literally a dividing line.
Yeah, it is a divide. It's two sides of Alexandria. Mr. Porter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, look at you. Y'all, he got a little shadow around him and everything, like he doing a vintage
yeah.
picture.
I'm in a hotel room in New Orleans.
So tell me, so we've been doing all the talking, so I want your input.
Well, you know, it's apparent what's been happening to the city of Alexandria. The districts that represents the minority of the city, districts
mm-hmm.
4 and 5.
Yep.
They've maintained their council members for 25, 32 years.
That's right.
They're not revolving, they do not have a revolving door for theirs. And it's easy to see why those two districts have prospered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other 60% of the city, districts 1, 2, and 3, they recycle theirs so you don't get anybody in there for a while to actually make substantive changes, you know, to their district.
Exactly.
You don't have anybody there who know the system well enough to direct funds in the budget process so that the money that the city takes in can be applied to address the issues
mm-hmm.
in those districts. Instead, what happens, instead of addressing flooding, instead of addressing drainage, stormwater drainage, instead of addressing streets and roads,
mm-hmm.
and instead of addressing their infrastructure for the electrical grid in those three districts,
mm-hmm.
which you had $7.5 million go to a ballpark, a sports complex.
That's right.
So you have 60% of your city that's in dire need of infrastructure improvements, but that capital money, the same money that could be used for those infrastructure programs, it was used for an athletic complex.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you realize that the two at large candidates who are supposed to bring balance to the city council
mm-hmm.
because they represent the entire city,
mm-hmm.
when you see them voting for districts 4 and 5, that means those two districts have 4 council members.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the other districts just have 1 council member.
That's right.
Okay, and so what happens is the funding for the people who would like to see the city revenue go towards that area, they are the same ones funding persons to get into the race to displace a Malcolm Lauberday
mm-hmm.
because he's too knowledgeable. He's a professional. He's college educated. He's a decent person. You know, never been to jail, not a felon, things like that. Okay, so the folks who want to see the money flow elsewhere, they don't want a person like that in office.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
They successfully fund people, black people, pay them out.
That's right.
They did the same thing with Joe Ford.
Mm-hmm.
One, put multiple people in a race. If you remember, that at-large race, there were six candidates in that race.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them were black.
Mm-hmm.
That was intentional.
Yep.
That is the strategy. That is the playbook. That is the play that they run. You put multiple persons in a race, you split the vote, and hopefully you get them out.
That's right.
And that's what happened with Joe Ford. That's what happened with and that's the same play there. That's the same playbook, same play they're running against me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I recognize right away.
Don't want anybody to.
I'm a threat.
Yeah.
I am a threat.
Mm-hmm.
That establishment.
That's right.
Yes.
The reason I'm a threat is because I have too much knowledge about what has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to identify the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
And point it out. Now, it falls on deaf ears most of the time. It certainly fell on deaf ears with the mayor, because that's not his goal, is to have a fair and equitable system for the city of Alexandria. No, they want the bulk of the funds, the capital improvement, the city services, all those things they want to flow in District 5 and District 1. And anything in District 1, we're not going to use the city taxpayer money to do it. In other words, we're not going to use city taxpayer money to repair the North 16th Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use city taxpayer money to improve infrastructure. We're not going to use the city taxpayer money to eliminate flood. What we're going to do, we're going to see if we can ride this out, and if there's state funds available, yeah, we'll use that money in Districts 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
If there's federal money available, yeah, we'll use that money to address issues in Districts 1, 2, and 3. But at the same time, we're not going to proactively go out and try and get these grants from the federal government or the state or whatever. If they become available, yeah, we'll accept it and we'll use it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go pursue that, and we're definitely not going to use our taxpayer money to make improvements in District 1.
Yeah.
So the problem is they keep the same elected officials for 25 plus years, 25 to 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do? We circulate ours out. We have a revolving door. We get ours out.
Yeah.
So now you got a new person come in, brand new, and trying to learn the system. You got the folks been in there 25 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
They already know
the system. Yeah.
And they just run circles around the others.
Yeah.
So until we recognize that and we stop falling for the okey-doke, you know, I mean, let's face it. I was in office a year, and already people were funding black folks, and keep this in mind, who did not live in District 2 to get me out.
That's right.
Okay. Now, when you got folks outside of your district trying to remove your elected officials,
that's right.
There should be whistles. There should be sirens.
Mm-hmm.
There should be all kind of lights flashing.
That's right.
But our folks, no, it's not the case.
No. Mm-mm.
So let's be very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want an intelligent person in that position.
That's right.
No. It's unfortunate in the black community there is an anti-intellectual movement.
Yeah.
If you are an intellectual, you have a higher education. If you have all of those things, if you have a profession that you worked at for 30 plus years, those are negatives. That's not what they want. And and that's not what the outside people want. Mm-hmm. The persons who are in the minority, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate the black persons are the majority of the city.
That's right.
And the ones who are the minority, they don't want you to put your best and brightest in mm-hmm. these positions.
That's right.
Because they want the persons that they can control that
and manipulate.
They can run circles around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the situation
is. Yeah. And that's why Roosevelt, that's why Washington is sitting there. I mean, anyway, go ahead.
So what we have to do, we just have to make our folks aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for one, I am a person who believes a candidate should never go into office unopposed. Should always have someone running against them so that the voters can have a choice.
That's right.
Look at District 5. Many, many years unopposed.
Yep.
Look at District 4. Many, many years
unopposed. That's
with
right.
With the exception of one or so things. So you're talking about, in one case, 6 terms, more than 6 terms, and in another case, 8 terms.
Yeah.
And what do you have with us? You have a flood of candidates, which is okay,
mm-hmm.
but you have the candidates being put in that race for other reasons. And the main reason is we want to split the vote.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create confusion
mm-hmm.
in the black community. Let's create doubt. Let's create chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can get that person who is the intellectual, maybe we can get them out of office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what can people in a black community, what can they associate with? What can they recognize? What can they feel comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame. Look at what they can feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
If you're a film, okay? If you do not have a higher education, if you do not have
pay your bills
that you worked at for many, many years, you know, if you're a con artist,
mm-hmm.
if you are a hustler, and hustler in the worst frame of mind,
mm-hmm.
trying to cheat people out of money, you know. If you sold drugs, if you did these type things.
If you was a wife beater, domestic violence.
That's alleged. That's alleged. That's all alleged.
Okay.
They feel they have more in common. They can identify with that person as their representative, as opposed to someone who is on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
But the problem that poses, you may feel more comfortable, you may have a connection with them, you might could identify with them, but those qualities, that criteria
mm-hmm.
does not serve these individuals well in the elected position.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not that they couldn't adapt and could not rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are persons who can do that. But then the vast majority of the ones that being put forth in front of folks, you can look at them right now and you can see that they cannot. You know, and what tells you that is that, number one, they never read the charter, have no concept of the charter.
Nope.
Don't understand civics. Don't know how municipal government operates. But yet they're vying for that position.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the reasons that they actually run? And why do they feel they could really, really do a good job?
Mm-hmm.
If you've never flown a plane before and you're applying to be a pilot for a national airline, are you going to get that job? No. But if it was based on a vote,
mm-hmm.
and the voters saying, yeah, I would like to see this person fly a plane, they got no none of what they've done in the past would help them in trying to be a pup.
Mm-hmm.
Could they learn? Oh, yeah. How long would it take? It depends on...
A couple crashes.
But we've been falling for the okey-doke for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
You know? At least the last 32 years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it goes back longer than that. So, if folks are saying that their neighborhoods haven't changed, haven't improved in 30 years, it's not the persons who've been in there 1 year or 2 years or 4 years that's responsible for that. It's not them. But what do? You change them up. You know, you get them out of there.
Yep. Yeah.
Yet you,
my thing is, Mr. Porter, what you're talking about is people, like I said in the comment section, if you defend these black communities, you become public enemy number one, even to other black folks, because A, you're taking a job or a potential job, you're not giving my friend a chance. And my friend can really do this job, and I believe my friend can do it because that's my friend. You're not knowing about these conversations that your friend is having behind the scenes with other people. You're not knowing what kind of debauchery your friend is engaging in with they not being your friend. That's why you got to be careful who you call a friend. You got to be careful that you vet. Don't even vet a damn candidate. Vet your friend. Vet your friend. Vet the ones that you say you will trust. Because really, when you were electing and you putting your vote in there, you're saying, I would trust this person with my paycheck. And if you can't trust them with your paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and you know what they'll do with $20, $30 out of your money, they're going to keep it and try to flip the rest. And then come back to you like, oh, I lost it, but you're my friend, so we're going to look over there. But I'm not going to trust my friend that ain't a pilot to fly my plane. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
But that's what the decisions we make when we go in those booths every four, whatever years we do. When we go in that booth and we change up, and it's so important, Mr. Porter, that you made that point about the ideal that Fowler and Villard have been in those offices. Silver been in office, 20, 30 years altogether, probably about 60 years altogether, all three of them, if you combine them together. And each time that the election came up, nobody, when they opposed them or whenever anybody went against them, they won. They kept getting back in there over and over again. Soon as a black candidate be in there, they don't even give them the first 4 years before they're trying to get rid of him. Don't even give them a chance to do anything, but they wind up taking money from other people, outside people, to get that person that's in there out. You guys, you have done yourself such a disservice. And you're seeing it now. And it's so crazy now. We've gone through this pandemic. Y'all seen how everything happened with the pandemic. You've seen the eviction moratorium. You've seen people lose their homes. You've seen people lose their apartments. And they scrambling trying to find places to live. Y'all saw all that when y'all were in the midst of changing the doggone in city council members that were trying to help you guys. Yeah, this is... You might as well face up to it. If you live in these districts and you voted for that very person that you voted for and they're sitting in that city council right now, that's y'all. That city council member that's sitting there, he voted with them to give that $6.5 million, okay?
She voted too.
And turned around and gave them another $700,000 just lately. I just said that earlier. Those are the
Where
people.
Where did that come from? I wanted to ask that question.
Ask Mr. Porter. Ask Mr. Porter about the $700,000.
Okay, so what appeared on the budget from the administration, from the mayor, that was submitted, was $1,175,000 for a VIP coaches bill.
A VIP coach building.
Yeah, it's essentially a VIP lounge. It got live streaming, it got widescreen TV, it has a kitchen, it has a shower, it has all this stuff.
Wow.
Okay, and so now let's recap. So right after the tornado hit, $1.1 million was used to clean up the site right away because they wanted to get back in play. Then $7.5 million was approved to put in artificial turf, underground drainage, LED lights, new canopies, new bleachers, new press boxes, new concession booths, all sorts of stuff, new fencing, sidewalks around there. You name it. They just went off wild. Okay, and now they come back and they want to add a coaches building, a VIP lounge for the visiting coaches where they can gather when their teams are not playing in a tournament. So you see, this facility was not intended for our kids at all.
Nope.
It was intended for people who come from away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always this false narrative advanced that this was a money maker. It makes money. What I proved, what I showed,
mm-hmm.
was that it does not.
It doesn't make
money.
A dime.
And they never actually calculated how much
mm-hmm.
we spent on that until I got there
mm-hmm.
and showed that we're spending almost $900,000 a year of our recreation budget on that one facility. And so at that point, it was decided I had to go. So what they did, they went dredge up the bottom of the barrel, the scum of the pond, and put money in their hands to launch a recall effort and get me out of there.
Yep.
And a recall failed. So now that, but they never went away. So now they're drumming up a lot of people to run.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be four persons in the District 2 race.
There's
and already the opponents are being heavily funded.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all sorts of things already. And the election is not until November 6th. The nomination, the qualification for to run in the election is not until the third week of July.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the effort, the money, and the intensity that's put in there. And it's not that we have a candidate that we really think could be in there and do well for the city. It's more that there is a candidate, there is an incumbent right now, we must get out. So it's not like for somebody, it's against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Against that. That somebody is me.
Mr. Porter, remember in the Johnny Downs Matters group, they said we could get rid of Porter, but it'll be a little bit harder. That's when Red X Washington, who wasn't a councilman at that time, said get in contact with Clarence Reed. He was starting that he has a recall petition going. This has been a plot from the beginning. So, like you said, those people never went away. But you got to ask yourself, why in the hell were they gathered in a Johnny Downs Matters Facebook group?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Why was there even a need for that, right?
Yeah.
They were getting their money. They had all the votes. But why was it a need for that movement, for that organization, for that social media plant, and it was because of the information I was pointing out.
Now, okay, so this is what essentially what, for those of you that aren't really grasping what he's laying down, what he did was he did the research and he pointed out the fact that monies that could have been fixing our communities was actually going to a baseball field.
Yep.
Monies that could have been improving our communities and saving our kids, and resources
mm-hmm.
that could have been saving the particular people of that community was all being drained and going to a baseball field. That's why we make the big deal about it that we do, because we're pointing out the fact that that money could have went somewhere else. And the people that say, oh, I don't mind them getting the money, I don't mind them getting the money, are actually saying, I don't give a damn about who gets the money. I don't care if we don't get that money. And then, not only that sets us back, because that is a damn diving board. They should have had to earn that money.
Yeah, they should have earned it. But just like Mr. Porter says, when it comes to the taxpayers' money, putting it in the black community is an issue. But when it comes to putting it in their community, it's all right for them to use your money, your taxpayers' money, to build and do better in their communities. But when it comes to blacks, they want us in the black community, they want us to use grant money. They want to apply for grants, or sometimes they won't even apply for the grants. Okay?
And the grants would need the
transparency. Yeah. They would need
that discrepancy study.
Yeah, they would have
grants require that the statistics be on par.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do
it. That's where the black people are trapped at.
That's
right. Because that discrepancy study, I've been waiting for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Other people
longer than that. The disparity study.
Disparity.
We kick that off. Of course, we don't need a study
to
tell us that the city of Alexandria does not do business
with
black businesses.
That's
we
right.
We don't need a study to tell us that.
That's right.
What the study would tell us is how little we do with black businesses. Now, during this administration under Jeffrey Hall, we have purged some of the largest black businesses that had contracts with the city of Alexandria. We got rid of them. And so we already know that there was a disparity. And now when you start removing the ones who were the high dollar contracts, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to run for office in a city that's majority black, do you really want a disparity study to come out and show that under a black mayor you lost ground with doing businesses with black businesses?
That's right.
You know, and now that makes the other side very happy. They're ecstatic about that. But if any black person in this city said, well, why is it we don't have more businesses and stuff like that? You're not doing businesses with them anymore. And the other community is not doing business with black businesses.
That's right.
So the only ones that can help black businesses survive is the black population, and hopefully there would be a fair and balanced approach to considering all businesses for contracts with the city.
That's right.
You don't have it. So, you know, we don't want that. The administration don't want that study to see the light of day.
I told you, I'll go back to 1914. You go back to 1914 Alexandria, and you will get all the answers you need. When they essentially shut me down, most of the platforms, when they went after me and they had me blocked all over Facebook, I was pulling out a simple truth. If you're the Secretary of State, you have to see people that have been elected that their families are tied into the Confederacy. When I started the petition about the monument and it got all that attention, you can tell that the Confederacy, the daughters of the Confederacy, these are people literally linked in. They run Alexandria. If you don't know that all these people that are business owners, quote unquote, these long-standing generation after generation of business, fourth and fifth generation businesses that have been in Alexandria, it's all Confederate money. So when you say something about the black folks, when you defend black people, look how offended they get. How dare you? We're speaking on something that they have a problem with. Oh no, we'll throw you a bone. We'll throw you a bone. It's gonna have a little bit of meat on it, but it's gonna go to the greediest person.
Yeah.
And
yep. That's it. The greediest person is gonna get it. You're right.
Did Cynthia Perry voted with them to give that $7 million to Johnny Dunn?
Yes. Mr. Porter, she asking the question.
Yeah, that vote was 6-1. I was the only dissenting.
So you were the only one who voted against Johnny Downs. Everybody else voted for it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and that was like January. You know, the election was in November. The runoff was December, and they brought that.
That was the first council meeting.
That was the first council meeting that they voted on Johnny Downs, and everybody voted for it but Mr. Porter. He the only one voted against it.
That
tells you.
All these black people that are saying, well, I don't have a problem with them getting the money for Johnny Downs. You're right, because you don't know where that money came from.
That's
you
right.
You don't know where that money could have went.
That's right.
You don't even care where that money could have went. That's not a concern to you. Well, they got it. Let's stop complaining about it. Let's do something for ourselves. Why would you tell them that?
Yeah, because they're not doing it for themselves. They're using your taxpayer money to fund whatever they want on their side of town. But they want y'all to use grants to fund stuff that goes on y'all side of town. Do y'all see the problem there? Do y'all understand the problem there?
The problem is that VIP Coaches Lounge. You really want to piss me off. You tell me that they got a VIP Coaches Lounge now.
They don't have it now. They're working on it.
Well, they got what, 700,000?
Yeah.
They wanted
1.575 million.
Mm-hmm. But look, here's the reality, and this is what the average citizen would not see or would not recognize. You get new people in on the city council. There's no orientation plan.
Nope.
As soon as you're sworn in, the first meeting in December, you're in. So it's just like you lined up at the starting line, the gun goes off, and you off and run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no orientation. There's no practice. There's no mentorship. There's nothing except you and the city charter book and the city council book.
Should you choose to read it? Add that part, Mr. Porter. Should you choose to read it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. You're off to the races. You're running in the race right now. Mm-hmm. Whether you're prepared or not, whether you know the course or not,
mm-hmm.
you're in this cross-country race, and it's on. Okay? Let me tell you what happened. There were so many items that had been prepared in August, and they were not submitted to the city council until after the election.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this flurry of things that they knew would not pass if they had submitted it in August, September, October, or November. They waited until after the election and submitted it in January, and it just sailed right through. It was a 6-1 vote on just about all of those items.
Now, is that the administration held up on that?
Yes, because they knew it was not going to fly through the previous council. They knew that.
Mm-hmm. And see, we don't even understand the rules of how they do it. Now, that was perfect what you said. They held up anything that needed to be voted on after the election. Once that election happened and they got those seats filled, they slid everything through that they wanted. Everything that they wanted, including Johnny Downs. They got it.
It sailed right through.
Right through. 6-1 all the way through. That 6-1 includes District 3 and District 1. That was voting for all that stuff.
So look, here's what folks really need to understand in civic government, in Alexandria Municipal Government. When you got folks who've been on there multiple years, they already know the process.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's taking place.
Yep.
When you got people that's just coming into the door, first time, don't really know this, then they don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, for that first year, they can get everything that they want.
That's right.
And there's no discussion, because the other ones, the the Silvers, the Ballards, the Fowlers, the Rubens, they already know what's on that agenda before it hits the agenda.
That's right.
They know how they voted. There's no need for discussion.
That's right.
The other folks don't know until it appears in the books on the agenda. And at that point, they have less than 2 weeks to try and research it and understand it before they actually have to vote on it.
That's right.
And so they're at a tremendous disadvantage. These folks know this. And these folks take advantage of this. And so all of this comes through. So what's the best scenario for those people? Let's keep getting these new folks into office who don't know what's going on, who don't have the capability to actually research this and figure out what's going on. And for an entire year or 2 years or 4 years, we can just have our way to stuff and sail through. There won't even be any discussion on it. None whatsoever. And it just comes
through. That's a hell of a game plan. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know it's going to work. You know it's going to work. And if even if you have one dissenter, that's one vote against all these people that have no idea.
Yeah, it's the lone voice crying out into the wilderness.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. You could ignore that voice.
Yeah.
You know, they'll call out all night long. It might disturb your sleep every now and then, but essentially you could just ignore that lone voice.
Exactly.
So far, you're $300 bills.
And that's what they're going to do. And they, like you said, they're already starting to do it on this time. They're about to get it rolling now.
Now let me say something about Councilwoman Perry. She has been applying herself. She's been researching stuff. She's been reading the chart. She has been asking questions. She has been calling committee meetings. She is definitely getting engaged and understanding this situation. Okay? But I cannot say that about anybody else. You know, she is definitely applying herself, and she is, every meeting, she's more and more knowledgeable on things. But other folks, no, the other one's on cruise control, and the other one's on monitoring.
And I thank you for your that is a lot of candor and a lot of class you just showed. To say that the other rings in the room aren't applying themselves, see, when you're ignorant to a fact and someone brushes your face with a paintbrush full of facts, you can say, oh, I didn't know. When you actually have looked it up and you're very knowledgeable about it, they can't even pick the paintbrush up to paint you in the face with it. In the wrestling game, they call it paintbrush when they slap you in the face. The guy that quoted munitions as a reason why you couldn't get that project off the ground.
Did you say munitions? Who taught you that word? Who taught you that word? No, Luke.
I've never heard that Negro in particular say anything like that before. I never even knew that he knew any words like that, especially being so well educated that fact of public record, you know, your resolve to a solution for paying your utility bill was to put a pit bull outside your utility box.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
These are facts, folks. Don't you wait me. These are facts. If I'm lying, I'm flying. If I'm lying, you know what? I haven't lied more than they have. How about that?
So wait a minute. So you said he put a pit bull outside of his utility box.
I'm saying this. There was a pit bull
outside
of someone's home
that
is on the council to prevent them from getting a proper reading or disconnecting his service. his or her service, because we got men and women on the council. And not only do they secure the pit bull, they secure the services as well. Her
okay.
services, his or her services.
So, okay, why so, isn't this not public knowledge?
That is public knowledge. That's
okay.
why I'm able to say what I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha.
So, for you to quote munitions and to go home and use that as a resolution to paying a bill, no, sir. I do not believe the flock of shit you're flying. I don't. And the fact that Mr. Porter brought that idea to the council the way he did, it was an open door for us to discuss how could we accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a game of that. It was a, can we do this? And look at the people that said no right off the bat.
Yeah.
Hell no. No, this isn't even possible. This isn't even feasible. Matter of fact, put up that feasibility study. Because that feasibility study says this ain't feasible. Look at the people that jumped right off the bat and said, hell no. Hell no. We're going to do what? With the money of the taxpayers? How much you need?
And that's, and that's how it's been. It says, Mr. Porter, when Mr. Porter, when they're going to release them minutes from April 19th. Oh, there's a question out there. They want to know when the minutes from April 19th is going to be released, because so far it's not on the city.
They have to approve the minutes from the previous council, so it won't be available until the next council meeting.
Okay, so May 3rd. Okay, so let me explain. They have to approve those minutes. And they'll be doing that on May 3rd. So once they approve those minutes, they can release them. Am I correct, Mr. Porter?
That's correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure. So that's the reason why you haven't seen them up there yet, is because they have to approve them. Once they approve them, which is this next city council meeting, which is May 3rd, then you'll have your information. And this is what I want to tell everybody on here. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. I didn't even say that. We had a whole bunch of people in here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Over on our live, thank you for hanging out with us over on Zoom. But really, real quick here, I want you guys to understand this. Do your own research. Do your own research. We do it all the time. I know it, we say it all the time because it's natural for us to do it. Do your own research. Read. If you don't ever read anything else, in order for you to be involved and moving your community forward, you've got to read, and you've got to see what happened. See, we can always say, oh, don't go to the past, but you guys don't understand how the past is hurting you guys. It's hurting you because you don't know what happened in the past. Today I was on a post with a lady, and she was trying to ask a question. It was a white lady on one of KLB posts about the crime thing, and she was saying how I don't know what we could do to fix it. And or something, she made a comment, and I just went down the line. I just went down the line on the things, the reason why it's not fixed in the neighborhood. I talked about how you have city council members that over and over again voted against anything that was going to help the black community. I told her about the environmental situation with Ms. Agnes and Ms. Velma. I gave her a whole list. And you know what she said? She admitted it. She said, I didn't even know none of this was happening. And this is her city. Because they're not caring about what happens on our side of the town. It's not prevalent to them. It doesn't faze them.
She actually
thanked me for telling her what was going on, because she was clueless of what was happening. Why can't they get their shit together, in other words? Well, let me lay it out to you to show you why they can't get their shit together. Because they got people already, like Mr. Porter said, you have city councilmen who already know how to vote prior to this thing even coming to the, prior to it even getting on the agenda. They already know what they're going to vote for. They already know it.
I gotta say this.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about what Mr. Porter is doing and what we're doing. People hate us. They hate what we have to say individually and collectively. They hate the research that we do. They hate the facts that Mr. Porter finds. They hate that because there are people in this city that are not living in District 123.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea until it's brought up.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't know that.
And then have the ones that do know that aren't telling the ones what it is the truth. The truth is washing in and it's cleansing. And it's cleansing when all the filth and all the dirt and all the muck that's been, people have been hiding under for years. And when you are telling white people something that they don't know, and you're wrong.
You're going out. We can't hear you. Just keep hearing a loud sound. Is that you? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Now, what were you saying?
Did you know this? Did you know this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know this?
Yeah. And they don't know it. And even when I told her about General Andre and how how Fowler, Silver, Villard was sitting up there playing with their phones while General Honore was trying to ask for them to talk to the corporations like Creasel Plants, Royal Martin and all of them, to build a lab down in the lower third area so that they can monitor the blood tests of the people who are keep getting cancer in that area. They sat there and they literally was playing with their phones. And these are the people who've been in those offices, been in those seats for 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 years. But we quickly try to throw our own people out of a seat to put somebody in there that's clueless on what's going on. They don't have no idea what's going on. So you guys, this is your elections are coming up. Your districts are going to be part of this. So I'm saying to you, if you don't do anything else, you never have to listen to this show. You never have to hear us whining, crying, or whatever you want to call it. We dropping knowledge of stuff we really know. If you never do anything else this time around, because you got an opportunity, you have an opportunity to change things. If you don't do anything else, I just want you to go back on the Sea of Alexandria, if nothing else, and go back in those minutes and look at what's been voted on that's pertaining to your communities and see how people voted.
Can we get a simpler task? That's stuff that we do. And I'm not saying that we're more advanced or more behind, but I'm saying that...
What's the simpler task?
Just a simpler task than that. I don't know what that task may be, but whatever it is, that's where we need to start at. Because looking up the minutes and trying to understand the Robert's Rules of Order and when people were just...
No. I'm not telling them to do that. I'm saying just look at the votes. That's all. All you got to do, it has it on there, yay or nay. It has all the votes on there. They find a subject matter that they want to learn about, go back and look it up, and then go in there and look at who voted on it. Just like, okay, let's say the fuel surcharge. That was a big thing. When they voted for the fuel surcharge, Fowler voted for it, Villard voted for it, and at the time, Lee Rubin voted for it, okay? When that surcharge, and Roosevelt voted for it. So that was 4-3, because at the time, Lavidan was on the city council, Green was on the city council, and Fuller was on the city council. They all voted no for your fuel charge, but Johnson, Fowler, Silver, Fowler, Villard, they all, Lee Rubin wasn't there when they did the fuel charge. Yes, he was. He was there, too. They all voted yes. And at the time, Lee Rubin was the city council at large. So you got to look at your city council at large seat, too, because they always vote with the other ones. Yes. So they all voted for that surcharge that you guys have to pay. Okay?
Yes.
While
Lavada and Ed, they were the only two that voted
against it. But was Mr. Fuller on there at the time? Was it Mr. Fuller? No, that wasn't Mr. Fuller. Okay, I correct that. Mr. Fuller wasn't on there. It was Jules and Lavadan that voted against that full fuel surcharge. So everybody else voted for it. Okay? Anything that's going to help you guys to do better, they're going to vote against it. I'm telling you, that's why they've been in them seats so long. and they know what's going on prior to them even coming sitting at that city council meeting. They have already made their deal and what they're going to do when they get at that city council. They already know what they're going to vote on. And this is all the time. And you guys, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a form of voter suppression. Because they've already made up. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to piggyback on what you said
mm-hmm.
and give some examples.
Yes, sure.
Right. Let's look at what they did vote for. And when
uh-huh.
I say they,
yes.
Lord,
gotcha.
Those folks.
Gotcha.
Okay. Look at what they voted for. They voted for the Grimble Park Senior Facility.
Yes, yes, Grimble Park.
Low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Paula even said, well, the people will generate assets, you know, equity. And no, he didn't say assets, equity.
Okay.
You don't get equity from rental.
Rental property.
Okay, now let's look at what else. They voted for liquor stores.
Yes, 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 yes,
okay.
Yes.
So their version of economic development and capital improvement for districts 1, 2, and 3
mm-hmm.
is liquor stores and low-income
housing. That's right.
And 3rd Street. The mayor put forward, and it passed, the sale of city property to an organization out of Jackson, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
to put up more low-income
houses. That's
okay.
right.
Now, the folks, they didn't even establish a presence in Louisiana yet. They first wanted to see, would it even fly?
Mm-hmm.
And if it would fly, okay, well, now we'll... you know, think about becoming official in Louisiana. Okay, but those are the things
mm-hmm.
that they vote for. They're okay with that. You want to do something that's a liquor store? You want to do something that's low-income housing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're all for it.
Yep.
But what they are against, they're against drainage improvement projects, which is capital money
mm-hmm.
that's competing for the same funds that goes to Johnny Bowles.
Yep.
That's why I'm so against all of that money going out there for many, many reasons. But that's one of the core points. Okay, they voted down $3.5 million for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they vote up low-income housing.
Yeah.
But they vote down
mm-hmm.
anything that has to do with home ownership.
That's right.
If
that's
you
want
right. to have low-income housing projects and have people rent for the duration of their
life,
they're all for that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give people a step up on the rung of the economic ladder
mm-hmm.
by making it possible for them to own their own home
mm-hmm.
and pass it down to their heirs?
Nope.
They are against that. They voted against that. You're looking to improve drainage so that people's houses don't flood. They voted that down. And the mayor was all part of that, too.
That's right.
He was against.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so if you live in Deerfield and if there is a major storm event and Bayou Beth overflows and it comes through the back of your neighborhood, you need to know the mayor said, we're not going to do it. Now, what I did, I took money from the renovation of City Hall and put into 3 different projects, one for Willow Glen drainage improvement, one for Acadian. Now, that's not my district, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those are major needs, and one for Deerfield.
Mm-hmm.
I also proposed a capital project to improve the drainage that's between Shenandoah, East Circle Subdivision, and Jude Street, which is a dead-end street. All of that ties into the same drainage, and they flood. Okay, a water backs up. Okay, so whenever somebody says, well, I haven't seen anything that he's done, that tells me that those people, number one, they're not following local politics, and number two, they're not being honest.
Right.
Because, let's face it, the whole reason that recall was initiated was because of my stance on how the capital budget was being utilized.
Yep.
Right. And so folks outside of my district recognize it and recognize that's a threat. If he succeeds there, he's going to end up taking money away from us that goes to our community.
That's right. That's right.
So they have to nip that in the bud. They have to bring that to a dead halt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, something else. When you start following the money, the most important thing that the city council does is they control the money.
Mm-hmm.
And at the budget process, that's when that takes place. If something ends up in the budget, the mayor now has the right to go ahead and spend it because that was approved. So if we put $7.5 million in Johnny Downs, he could go ahead and spend every penny of that. But what he can't do, he can't take that money and spend it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I put money into those three drainage projects, not one penny has been spent last year, and they don't intend to spend not one dime this year. So we can put the money there, but we can't make him spend.
Wow.
And so from the city council position, we've done what we can do. We can't. The charter doesn't give us the right to actually go ahead and spend the money. That is the administration. So the Acadian Village drainage project, you got $350,000 sitting there.
Mm.
They won't even assign that project to an engineering firm.
Wow.
Don't even do it. So now we're going into the second year. If that stays on the capital budget for 3 years without spending, then it's removed.
And that's what you think they're trying to do. That's why they're not doing anything.
Exactly.
Wow.
Okay, so now, if you don't know these rules, if you haven't read the charter, you haven't read the budget, if you don't know this, and you come in there new, what do you think is going to happen?
Yep. Mm.
But our people need to recognize that, number one, put your best and your brightest forward.
That's right.
Don't put the bottom of the barrel. Put your best and your brightest forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're unhappy with them, find another of the best and brightest in your community.
That's right. Nat, look, Nat says, he says, last time Gerber Porter said follow the money, he ended up on KLB.
That's true. Look, let me say this right here.
Oh, Jesus.
Right now.
Oh, Lord.
I appreciate all the support that I have that folks are doing on my behalf. I don't have the opportunity to thank all of them, and I'm going to actually try and do that and get better at that. But so many of you have advanced these issues, and you've taken what I've uncovered, and you've gone forth, and you've shared that with other people, and I appreciate that to no end. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
And I just think y'all are the salt of the earth because the whole reason I'm doing it is to improve our community and the city as a whole. And you feel the same way, and you're doing that also.
Exactly.
If you felt that I was disingenuous and not doing it and doing it for some personal reasons or some personal benefit, I know you would have.
Oh,
just let that drop.
Yes.
You know, you would not have advanced that.
Yes, we would definitely would have put the hammer on you.
Yeah. So I want to thank y'all anybody out there within listening distance, I want to thank you for doing it.
Yep. You're very much so welcome.
My goal is just to improve District 2 and improve the city as much as I can.
Exactly.
You know, and that's it. There's nothing in this for me personally. Mm-hmm. It actually costs me to serve as a public servant. And that's okay, because I signed up for it.
Yeah.
And I
take notes on what you're saying and what everybody is saying. So people call me and ask me about this stuff. And I share this stuff with my senior group.
Mm-hmm.
And so the notes that I can share and try so they can sort of kind of understand what's going on and the rules and stuff and why this is important and why they need to look, why they need to pay attention and look at the city council meetings on channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
I said, then you take my word for it. Yeah. Look at the city council meetings. See who's voting for what.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention to everything that's going on.
Exactly.
And then you will see yourself what I'm talking about.
Exactly. LaToya Fair says that we can't get nothing in the neighborhoods for the young kids. That's why they're picking up guns and drugs. There's nothing for them to do. That's exactly right. And that's what Mr. Porter was explaining. He says we can't. Okay. Nat told you're right. And he's telling folks who's blocking the money from us. He's talking about the people who are blocking the money. So it's been systematically put in place. It's been like this for years. I mean, for a long time they've been doing this. So this is not something they just started. That's why your neighborhoods look like that. It looks like that 25 years ago. It still looks like that, and your kids are grown, and it's still issues going on because of what they're doing, and they systematically. And anybody speak against them, you become the enemy. I know because I've been an enemy with them for a long time. Jock Roy could not stand to see me walk in that city council meeting. Jock Roy talked about this show many times on his news briefing because of the information that we have been sharing on this show. We're the other ones, okay? Even when I started this, doing this type of work or working, finding information out, is when I was working with Brian Coleman Sr., who was over Alexandria News Weekly. His parents owned that newspaper, and he would write the stories for it. So we would go to the city council meetings. So I've been doing this a long time, so I know how they've been doing stuff. And he was another person who would tell it like it is, no transparency. I mean, transparent. And Jock Roy could not stand Mr. Coleman, could not stand for him to walk in that room, because he know when he tell that story in that Alexandria News Weekly, it's going to be the truth. And he was a great writer, and I miss Coleman, because he definitely would be involved in all this that's going on now. And he would be just like us, voicing his opinion of how he felt about how the city's been doing. So this has been going on for years, you guys, for a long time. We even talked about the CLECO thing, that money that y'all were supposed to get. I went back and I did a show on that where I found out that they claim, Markoff claimed that you guys got a $72 million savings on your utility bill when that CLECO settlement happened. Well, I asked the question of the public. Did y'all know anything about a $72 million savings? No, they didn't know anything about a $72 million savings. But he said, y'all got that in your bill. So this stuff goes way back. You know, that CLECO deal was a long time ago. That CLECO deal was back in 2010, right? 2010, something like that, when the CLECO deal happened. Because I went back and I went through all the paperwork and I did it on the show and we talked about it. And I got him to say something because I kept saying stuff, and Markoff finally came on Facebook and answered some of the stuff I was saying. And that's when he told me that you guys got a $72 million saving on y'all bill that went along with the $10 million, quote unquote, that y'all got, when y'all didn't even know what the rest of them got. Y'all don't know how much them lawyers got. That whole thing was a fiasco. People got fired. I mean, all kinds of stuff. People were investigating. Y'all don't even know any of that because it probably was something you guys didn't really was interested in. But that CLECO money, that was y'all money. That was the biggest ripoff. That CLECO deal where they sued CLECO for saying that they were overcharging the city of Alexandria. Y'all do not have no idea what happened with that case. Y'all knew that Bridget Brown got fired. Y'all knew that kind of stuff, but y'all didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. That was a fiasco. It was everything that could go wrong with that case went wrong with it. And y'all wind up with $10 million that you not only had to share with the citizens, also you had to share it with the business owners. So what did y'all all get out of that? $10 million. That's the kind of stuff we talk about on here. Because we want you guys to know what's going on. Because obviously y'all not getting this from anybody else. Who else is talking about this? KLB is stories that we talked about on here. KLB don't even touch. Or KLX. So this is what we've been doing for a long time. Getting this information out to you guys. Like we said earlier, some of y'all don't like the way we might be the way we deliver it. We deliver it the way that we get it and how we feel about it. It's a lot of bad things going on in your city, and y'all don't have no idea what's going on. Have no idea. So that's why we talk about it on this show. Another thing, changing the subject a little bit, let's talk about this concert that's coming up. This concert that's coming up on the FET, what's it called? Youth Empowerment Concert, okay? So from what I'm hearing, this rapper that's supposed to be coming here, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I've been trying to say it for the last, I don't know how long.
Yeah, what's up?
Jeffrey Hall was involved in that CLECO case as well.
Yes, Jeffrey Hall was part of CLECO case. That's right. That's right. You're right. Sure was.
So Jeffrey Hall, Jacqueline, all these other people.
Do y'all remember? Do y'all remember when they were looking for an engineer and Jeffrey Hall, your mayor, said that there's no black engineers in the city of Alexandria? Y'all remember that? Does anybody remember that?
Jeffrey Hall was working with CLECO and they were looking for minorities to promote.
Yes, and he said there was none here.
No black, no minorities that was worth promoting inside CLECO. Does anybody remember that?
He said it was not worth promoting?
That's not worth promoting.
Yeah, he made that comment too. Mm-hmm, yeah.
I know that because he got sued for it. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, he got sued for that, yeah.
Okay, so what is this pattern that we're
noticing? You're right, you're right. They gave all the money to Johnny Downs. Girl Reporter was the only one saying no, but Red X and them all voted yes, $6.5 million, and then they voted more 2 weeks ago. Yeah, he's informing whoever he's talking to about what we were just talking about with the Johnny Downs. So this is what we, and Tavares, you made a point about the idea that people keep saying, oh, that don't have nothing to do with me. Obviously, it does have a lot to do with you, because regardless of what you say, you guys pay taxes. Y'all pay taxes when you go buy food in the restaurants. You pay taxes when you go buy groceries. You pay taxes every time you do anything. Any city, you pay taxes. So what that was your taxpayers' money that they gave to Johnny Downs. That was your money. And then we complain about not having anything in our neighborhood, but you got people sitting on the city council that look like you that's voting for them to get the money. So you got to figure out a way where you get more knowledgeable about what's going on so that you won't have this problem. You get up there and you ask questions. If you find your city councilman in the streets, he walks around, ask him, why'd you give that to them? What was your valid reason to give them $6.5 million when you know we don't have that over on our side of town? Why would you do that? Why would you do that when we don't have affordable housing in our community? Why would you do that when we have flooding issues in our community? I guarantee you he don't have a very good reason to give it to you to tell you why he did it, because he was told to do it. He was told to vote. And if you ever notice how whenever Mr. Porter brings up something to vote on, whenever he brings up something to vote on, they don't hesitate not 1 minute to vote against it. They don't even think about it. If it's anything that he's trying to bring to them, They do not vote yes on it.
You're right, lady. It's all right.
Every time he brings up a subject matter, put it on the agenda, work it out, show it to them, they vote against it. And they do it because he's smarter than majority of them sitting on that council. The only person, smarter in as far as the budget goes and a lot of other external things, he's much smarter in than they are. So they feel intimidated by them. Just because they've been sitting on that city council, they really don't have to make no effort to research anything. You know why? Because they already know they're going to vote for something that's for their community. But anything against it, they already know they're going to say no. They don't go back and look at the fact sheet or ask for any more proof. They don't have to do that. They've been sitting up there almost 20-something years. They already know they're going to vote everything for the black white folks and vote against everything for the black folks. That's how they've been doing it, y'all. And the districts, the reason why they're not going to get out those seats until they actually want to get out those seats is because they're taking care of their district. I wouldn't move them either. If I'm getting good streets, if I'm getting good houses and stores and tax money getting put back in my community, I'm not going to vote against them. I'm going to keep voting for them to get back in there. We don't do that. Y'all wouldn't even give Mr. Fuller, Mr. Green, Mr. Lavadan, and Mr. Porter, you didn't even give him a chance to show y'all what he was trying to do. Y'all had all those votes, and you gave them away because you got bamboozled and hoodwinked and voter suppression happened because y'all went out there and listened to the lies of the ones who were getting paid to push and pimp these non-working councilmen in those positions and kick the ones that were working out. This is the end result of it, you guys. This is the end result of it.
Selena.
Yes.
What were you about to say about the rapper or something?
Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little bit off track. Okay. Frito Bang. I had never heard of him until I went back and looked at him and got research, and then I talked to some people about this young man. Now, I hear he's supposed to be at this FET, this youth empowerment FET, okay? They picked him up out of Baton Rouge. This young man is in rivalry with another rapper in Baton Rouge, and they want you to be there with your kids while he's there. I don't know if he's going to perform, is he going to talk, but I want to understand this. Why would you pick somebody like that to speak to your children? Why?
But who picked him?
From what I'm hearing, Holmgren picked him.
Who?
Your mayor.
Oh.
That's why I said Hall. I just said Hall. I didn't say the whole day. Mayor Hall and his little crew picked him. Okay.
When is it supposed to take place?
Huh? It's supposed to take place this Saturday. Because you got to remember Alexandria FET. And no, I'm not against anybody going to the FET. I'm not against it. None whatsoever. But they're not getting my money. Point blank.
No.
They're not getting my money. Okay? No.
Huh?
You have to pay to go in. No, I don't know if you have to pay to go in or not. Do you have to pay, Mr.
Free.
Porter? It's free.
It's free.
I won't be there. I won't be wasting my time there.
I
wouldn't take my children either if I had kids that young. Now, you're giving the permission of the parents to be there with this rapper who in his lyrics he talks about women under their clothes and gun violence. Because he has a video out where he's got a gun in his hand and he's got videos of somebody said there's a video out of him burning the Bible. So I'm trying to figure out what are we doing? Huh?
Look him up. What is his name?
His name is Frito Bang.
Frito.
Frito.
F-R-E-D-O-B-A-N-G.
His, I mean,
oh,
yeah, so,
oh, I don't like
so one of my Facebook friends said he was in a gang, not sure if that's true. You're the second or third person who said that. But you want him to perform for your children. You guys, do you see the respect that's not being given If you want to bring somebody here, bring a motivating speaker, bring a counselor, bring a therapist here, but not a doggone, hold up, not a doggone rapper that's got a record. From what I'm hearing, the FBI and the police are watching him. What? Why would you bring that to see our kids? That tells you the level of respect and how they value our kids. And this is a last-ditch effort for Hall. This has nothing to do with your children. It's a last-ditch for Hall to say, oh, I'm in here with the kids, I'm in here with the black people, when he has been totally ignoring y'all for the last 3 years. For the last 3 years, he's been totally ignoring y'all. But now, all of a sudden, if he's not trying to work with Coach Smith, he's bringing a rapper here with a record and wanting to talk about gun violence. Okay?
Wow, bring this rapper in.
Yeah.
Bring Obama. I'm going to have to look up this rapper, Street Obama.
Yeah.
What...
And they said there is a history of him and another rapper actually going back and forth with each other.
Oh.
So, you know how rappers do. You know, some of them do. They want to fight and be rivalry and all that. That's too much waste of time and energy. But I guess it pays because our kids pay to listen to it. So, you know, I'm just saying, you guys, I don't know if you guys wanted that. Did he talk to y'all to find out if your kids wanted to hear this young man or what? I mean, couldn't you do better than that? You know what you, huh?
This is my second time even hearing anything about it.
Yeah. Now, you wanted to bring somebody here. Why didn't you find out about D1? D1 talks very positive. He's a rapper, and he's very positive. Get a hold of D1. He could have came if he wasn't busy, because he don't rap about all this gun violence and talking under women's clothes. I'm just trying to figure out. And see, if Von Jennings was here, hey, Von, wherever you at, if Von Jennings was here, I promise you he wouldn't have got picked. I promise you she wouldn't have.
No way.
Mm-mm.
No way.
She would have never invited him to come speak to the kids.
So this is an addition to the River Fest.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to have something for these kids to make it appear that we're trying to address the violence in that part of the population.
By adding another, okay, go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Okay.
So this is supposed to be empowering, inspirational, educational, things like that. Now,
okay.
The problem is, this was initially conceived as a rap concert
mm-hmm.
to be held with those same individuals.
I gotcha.
Baton Rouge, because of the violence that's associated with those concerts conducted by these rappers in Baton Rouge,
mm-hmm.
Baton Rouge has pretty much limited where they can perform and when they can perform.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the fee that they would normally collect, it has gone down because the city's saying, look, we're not going to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
So we let you have this. So people realize if I want him to perform at a concert, it might not happen, so they're offering less and less and less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So essentially they're being controlled in Baton Rouge, and they end up over here.
Yeah.
So that means all the violence that's associated with those events, those concerts,
mm-hmm.
are going to carry over and spill over here.
Yeah.
Now, we're a little small town that already have a murder every weekend.
Yep.
We don't need to pour fuel, gasoline on that fire. We don't need to bring in this trouble.
Exactly.
And the message... I would encourage everybody to go look that person up.
Mm-hmm.
The message that person sends
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with empowerment in a positive setting. So why bring that here?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
And then this is part of the River Fed. It's part of, it's being funded by city taxpayer dollars, and we're sending the wrong message.
I bet they won't have no white kids out there.
Well, and see, that remains to be seen.
You may have a few, but the majority going to be
That remains to be seen.
Exactly. Exactly. So you get a chance, I hope you guys heard what he said. Go and look him up. Maybe some of you guys are already familiar with him. His name is Fredo Bang, Fredobang. And then make the decision whether or not you want your kids, because it's free, like they said. You want your kids at a in youth empowerment with someone who promotes gun violence and being disrespectful to women. I just want to know if you think that's feasible. I mean, would you want your children there? I don't know. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want my child there.
Mr. Porter.
Yes.
I want to change the conversation just for a minute, but it still talks about the same thing. Do you know about the meeting that's going to be held at Emmanuel Baptist Church next month?
Yeah. Is that the Louisiana Interfaith Organization?
Yeah, with black and white preachers all coming together to try to talk about the matters of all kind of concerns of Alexandria.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of preachers that stand up for that.
I'm familiar with that, yes.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah, on the 24th, I won't be able to make it. Because I'll be in Monroe for another AARP driver safety class. So,
okay.
So I have a conflict. I won't be able to make it. But
I think that's a pretty good thing. Because, Salita, you're talking about where the churches and where the churches.
Yeah, I did ask that.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, huh, Mr. Porter?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I'm concerned about some of the people that's involved with that because I already know what their inclinations are, what their past behavior has been, and I know what motivates them. So I'm just concerned that they would derail it, but I do think it's a good thing that they're doing.
Yes, I'm going to try to be there because I want to see, and I know who you know, those persons that whatever their reasons for being there, I don't know. I'm going to go there and take notes and so that I can, I'm eager to see what
they're talking about, what they plan on doing, because that's what... Is that obvious what they're trying to get together with, is to find out what they can do? Is that what that is?
Yeah, to see what they can do for the betterment of Alexandria. But the majority of them, I think, they mean well, and they want to do good. But you got a few of them, a couple of preachers, a couple of our preachers that I have doubt about. But the majority of them, I think, will be okay. But it's just two or three that I have doubts about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Vaughn Jennings is on here. Hey, Vaughn. Hey, Vaughn. Everybody's saying hi over here. Vaughn, you need to get back in your job up at the city and see if you can get us D1. Now, I'll go see D1. D1 is cool. I've actually interviewed him before.
We missed you, Vaughn.
Yeah. They say they miss you. I don't, but they do. I'm messing with her all the time. But, yeah. So we've given you guys a little bit of homework. okay? Take this information back to whoever. They can always come back to Can We Be Frank and watch us on Universal Collective Network. We've given you guys a plethora of reasons why you need to vet your candidate, okay? In order for y'all to move forward, you've got to change how you're doing things. Popularity, he's my cousin. He's my third cousin removed. He might be my brother. I'm not for sure. My mom messed around. He might be my uncle. I don't know, but I don't care. Huh?
He might be my boyfriend.
He might be my boyfriend. He might be my baby daddy. I'm not for sure. But I don't want him back in there again because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And the one that you have in there that's doing the work, don't get bamboozled. Remember what I told you it's called. And the reason why I say it's called voter suppression, because there is a man, what is his first name? His last name is Malvo. He headed up the Louisiana Voters Fraud Division in Baton Rouge. And he's the one who explained what they do here in Louisiana, and what we just explained happens is considered voter suppression. I'm just going by what I read the book, and I'm just sharing this information with you. What they do to y'all every 4 years with putting candidates in, buying them to put them in there to mess up the race, when you have two people and you put five and six people in them, that is considered voter suppression. I'm just letting you know, according to his work and what he does, that's, he said that's what it's called, because it's not really what you're supposed to be doing. One or two people, yeah, but when you're putting five or six people in and they know they're not just running on, they really don't have a platform to run on, that right there, you guys can tell. And then I want you to go, if you don't believe us, go to the Ethics Board website and start paying attention to the sponsorships and the money. Like Mr. Porter said, follow that money. We've connected dots on here that blow their mind when we finish. So I'm telling you, pay attention to who's donating who to who when these campaigns come up. And you will find what the, see, with a candidate, I'm not including Mr. Porter in there because Mr. Porter didn't do this. Whenever you are supporting a candidate, you're not just supporting him to say, hey, good luck, I hope you make it. You're supporting him with something you want them to do for you. That's how they do it. That's how these corporations do it. Pan Am Engineering does it. That's why they keep getting those contracts with the city, because they are on the rolls of a lot of these candidates. Okay? Just telling you what I know. By looking at that ethics board list, you go on there, you can see who's voting, who's donating to who. I'm not going to donate you unless I have a special interest. You got something. Okay, for instance, I got a road in front of my house that needs to get fixed. I can't get nobody to fix it. But you, if you're in my district and you're running for your office, I've been telling them they need to fix it. I know that you're going to get that done because you got the connections. I'm going to donate to your campaign because I know if I donate to your campaign, I'm going to get that road in front of my house fixed. And guess what? My road's going to get fixed. That's how the game is played. Whoever gets the most donation, who gives the most donations, get whatever they want. And that's why Villard Fowler, Silver stayed on that doggone city council as long as they did.
And look who's in there now.
Then you got Lee Rubin. He left and he came back. And he got the same position he left and came back to. He back in there. Y'all go to their barbecues, their fresh fries. You get their T-shirts. Y'all, and I don't know.
Lee Rubin, when you live, think about one, two, or three, he wouldn't know how to get over
there. He wouldn't even know how to get over there. So that's how Rapids got fixed.
Willow Glen, Main Street, Third Street. He wouldn't know anything about the rest of Third Street, Willow Glen, Third Street. He wouldn't know any of that.
Yeah.
No, anything dealing with 1, 2, and 3, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, and no, he's not the only one. Villard don't know about 1, 2, or 3 either, because he ain't got to come over. He's District 5. They don't know. They don't know. They don't. That's why I said they vote against anything that's going to happen good in the black neighborhoods, because they don't have to live over there and they don't have to be concerned about it.
Yeah, now one thing. Villard is at large.
Villard is the outlaw. Okay, him and Lee Rubin are at large.
And they really should have a vested interest
in the whole of Alexandria.
All of Alexandria, all of the districts.
Yep.
And what we've seen, what we've seen is that they consistently vote against things for districts 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
and 4 things in districts 4 and 5.
Yep.
Right. That sure is true.
So they're not actually doing their duties. Villard and Rubin are not actually doing their duties because they're for the whole city. So they're not supposed to be voting against improvements in 1, 2, and 3. They're supposed to be voting for it to make sure it get completely spread evenly. But they're not doing it. Every chance they get, they vote for 4 and 5. So they're not doing their duties.
Villard, you know, I told you all this. Villard didn't even know Sam Town was in the city limits. Because when I was talking, he said, Sam Town not in the city limits. I said, oh, but you're right, baby. Sam Town been in the city limits.
They don't know. They don't know. And
they
so they don't do no type of research whenever something comes up in that neighborhood. In those communities and in those districts, they don't do no research. They don't. They're going to vote no for it. If it's anything to make it better, they're going to vote no for it. That's just how it is. And I don't know if y'all vote for the city council at large, but y'all need to, like I said, look at the way they vote too, because they always voting against y'all. I'm just telling what it is. They vote against y'all every time.
I know me for sure.
Huh? What'd you say?
I say Lee Rubin for sure. Lee Rubin for sure. Mm-hmm. I just know that about him.
Mm-hmm.
What I was told about him. Yeah.
Yeah, they vote every... Villard and Fowler. Villard and Fowler, too. Anything that has anything to do with the black neighborhoods or the black communities, District 1, 2, and 3, they vote against it. They always do. But they will, like Mr. Porter said, they'll vote for liquor stores and low-income housing, okay? But they ain't going to vote for grocery stores, anything productive, anything that's going to make those areas better, they're not going to vote for it.
Not going to vote for affordable housing?
Affordable housing, anything.
Drainage.
No drainage. Or flood protection. And they sure, all of it they voted down. And for sure, when General Honoré came here, when he asked for them to talk to the corporate to make sure a lab be built in the black neighborhood so they can monitor the cancer, they sat there and was playing with their phones. Didn't even look up at them. So disrespectful. So, those are just, we just talk about the same thing because those are sticking our heads. But there's many instances that we sat in them city council meetings and they were very disrespectful and they voted against everything that was black.
The more something,
mm-hmm.
you have to keep talking about.
Yes, that's right, baby.
Somebody will get the news.
Yes, that's right, baby. Get the message. That's right. That's
hopefully
right.
Somebody will get it. Hopefully.
Yep. Every opportunity they did, they voted against. So they can smile in y'all faces and whatever, but y'all, all you got to do is look at their records. Look at their voting records. They're not for y'all. They're for District 4 and 5, and they make sure 4 and 5 gets whatever they want. And y'all, and it's not always like, okay, y'all need to do this, but y'all just need to pay attention. If you don't watch it, if you don't watch Channel 4 and see, now keep in mind, Channel 4 is edited, okay? They can edit Channel 4, But it's so awesome that we have Mr. Porter that comes on here on Tuesdays and Thursdays and give us the clear rundown of what happened at these city council meetings.
Yes.
That's the greatest part about this, having him here and being able to tell y'all what happens.
Hmm? Yeah, they're trying to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Saying for those that are listening, trying to say something and it's not what it really is. They're
That's
trying
right.
to make it sound like it's good what they're saying.
When it's not. It's not.
When it's not.
They got a whole different agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want y'all to pay attention. The next meeting is May 3rd. Pay attention. If you want to watch it on Channel 4, watch it on Channel 4 or go to the city council meeting. But pay attention and watch what they're voting on. Anything, he usually let us know if there's something really serious on there, and just watch the way they vote. Drainage, anything with drainage, anything about building. Why do y'all think Lower Third doesn't have a grocery store? Why do you think you don't have a grocery store? A real grocery store, not no convenience store. Because back in 2013, there was a feasibility study done. And you know that store that's on that corner right across from where Girlfriends was? What's that little store called, that convenience store that sits there? Where the people used to hang out at and they don't hang out there no more. On Third and Third, is that Broadway and Third?
It's Broadway and Third.
What's,
yeah.
Okay, what's the name of that little store?
I forgot it.
Okay.
Huh?
You would know what was right across the street from the Dollar General store. That was right. You could walk
Food
across
Mark.
The street. Food Mart. Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's it. Okay, that's it. Food Mart. Thank you, Adrian. They said in the feasibility study that that was the grocery store for y'all area, and that's why you don't have a grocery store down in there.
And everything in there was for you go in there and buy something.
That's right.
Bring you back. The meat was no good.
That's right. They decided, yes, they decided that that Food Mart was y'all version of what they were going to say was a grocery store. And that was the reason why Lower Third does not have a grocery store. You know why I know? Because I actually read the paperwork about the study on here because I had a copy of the paperwork. They said that was considered a grocery store. Somebody said everything is that. Sorry, Adrian. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you guys the stuff that we found. And I found it by accident. We found all this information by accident. But they said that was, they were not going to put a grocery store down there because Food Mart was y'all version of a grocery store. So again, please tell me when have they voted for something for you guys. Just tell me. This is the time now to start. You don't have to wait for election. You can start raising hell now. There's no time to raise hell. This is over 20-something years of y'all living in these neighborhoods like this. 20-something years or more. Y'all can definitely change the temperature in the room. Get y'all together. And y'all can change the temperature in the room. Y'all can. It's all up to y'all because y'all live there. And y'all going through this. And I know you're trying to work. You're trying to take care of your kids. You're trying to do everything. You're just trying to hold yourselves together. But you guys, you wouldn't have to do so much if the environment you're in is safe, clean, okay? And your kids can go outside and play. You wouldn't be so stressed out because you're afraid. You make sure if they're walking home from school that they get home in time, nobody's shooting at them or grabbing them up because you got people snatching up people too. You deserve a safe and clean and healthy environment. I say it all the time, and I'm not going to stop saying it. You deserve that. You worked hard. Your money is paid the low-ass wages that they try to throw at y'all. Y'all pay taxpayers money to make sure that they're supposed to do what they're doing. Not only the city council, you also for the APD, for the fire department, everybody is supposed to be doing their part to keep your city working, not just one side, but the whole, all of it. and you guys have the voices, y'all have the power, and you have the numbers. If districts 1, 2, and 3 get together, I guaranteed you, because you guys are the majority. You guys are the majority, but the minority runs the city. That's how it is. There's something wrong with that. You should have more power than they do. But they got all the power because you guys let them have all the power. You give it to them. Each time you do not disagree with the things that they do in your communities, you give them that power. You give them more and more power.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can change that. Only y'all can do that. We can't do it for you. We can tell you about it. We can inform you. But you guys have to change it. Because I know a lot of you guys are not happy the way your lives are here. I know it's not. And only you can change it. That's all I'm telling y'all. Y'all got the power. Y'all got Mr. Porter. I'm not campaigning for Mr. Porter. I'm just telling you because, see, what y'all don't realize is I've known Mr. Porter way before he even ran for office. Because me and Mr. Porter was in an organization together. And guess what? We were doing this type of work. So Mr. Porter already got the experience to do what he's doing. So all I'm saying with y'all, the ball is in your court, from the mayor all the way down to that city council. To make a difference. You can do it. And don't be, if you guys are all on one accord, I don't care what district you live in, if you all on one accord, you all want to see all the districts, all three districts looking better, better housing, affordable housing, healthy environment, y'all got to do it. Only y'all can get together and do it. Only y'all can do it. Nobody else can do it for you. You can't sit back and, well, they're going to do it. Well, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to say nothing. Mm-mm. No, you need to speak out now. We're going into 2023. We're only a few months away from 2023. You're going to a new year with the same bullcrap and the same people making decisions where you're getting deprived, but they're using your taxpayers' money to do it with? I don't know. It's up to y'all. Y'all got to change the temperature in the room. And I know some of y'all are friends with the same people that we're not friends with and we don't associate with. That's fine and dandy. But I think if you look at your environment, if you look at your communities, a friendship ain't about, I'm getting ready to cuss, Ms. Velma, ain't about shit if I'm living where I got to dodge bullets. I'm just saying.
That's true.
I'm just saying, mm-mm. And my kids can't go nowhere and play, and my kids don't have activities to do. It ain't worth it. Friendships don't mean crap to me if my kids don't come first when it comes to my community where I'm paying to live there. No.
You should have been in that meeting.
Huh?
I say that. The city council for District 1 should have been at the meeting on yesterday.
Exactly.
That special meeting that,
mm-hmm.
that was supposed to take place. I think he was absent.
Oh, that's mighty funny. Mm-hmm. I got you now. So I'm just saying, you're correct with that. That I'm just saying. You know, we cuss out each other. We get mad at each other. We talk about each other. And you can take all that same energy and take it to a city council meeting and demand, because those are elected officials, demand them. Your mayor is an elected official. Demand him to do his damn job. I don't know. I don't know. All I can do is preach to y'all. That's all I can do, baby, is to tell you what I know. And we on here, we do it all the time. Just tell you what we know. You guys have to change the temperature. You got to change the temperature. The thing is, it's not like the information we're giving you is made up information. It's in black and white.
Black and white, that's right.
It's in black and white. You have that as evidence and backup to what you're trying to convey to them. And you use that. You use their own words, their own votes against them because it's in black and white. That's what you do. Now, Nat, you're wrong, Nat. Nat said only thing they're going to change is the clothes they go to the club in. Stop. Nat said that. Nat said that. It's all right if y'all want to celebrate and have a good time. But me, I can't have a good time if I'm dodging bullets and my kids can't go outside and play. I can't go to no club. I can't drink and smoke and have a good time. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I'm a little bit more serious. I got to have a reason to have fun and being entertained. And Lenny Williams and Karen Wolf and Cisco parties and Ciroc parties and but I got to have more. Huh?
Did they have people show up for Lenny Williams?
I heard it was only about 60 or 70 people. I'm just saying. That's what I heard. Okay. Now, to me, I can't celebrate. If it was my situation in my neighborhood, in my community, I ain't got time to celebrate. Mm-mm. I ain't got time to celebrate. I celebrate when the work is done. When you see the results, that's when you celebrate.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, I mean, to each his own, I'm just saying me. I'm a little bit different. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm a little bit different than everybody else.
Yeah.
That's all. So, Mr. Porter, you want to say something? Because I know everybody's ready to go to bed. It's Friday tomorrow, so you guys have a good time tomorrow.
Yeah, I just want to recap. Okay, so they keep running the same plays against our community every election year. Let's recognize the plays they're running.
Yes.
Do not fall for the okey-doke again. And you mentioned some things that vote for someone more than voting against someone.
That's right. That's right.
And look into your own district. If folks on the outside are saying you need to change your elected public service, question that.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty much want your elected servant out.
That's
what's
right.
The reason for
it? Why are you trying to get rid of them?
Yeah. Make up your own mind.
That's
and,
right.
And then I'll always state this, follow the money. If you see where the money goes, you know who's behind.
That's right. Follow the money.
You know who's pulling the strings.
Exactly right. That's right. So,
do not vote against your own interests.
That's right.
Right. You know, make sure
what
you're voting for is going to be a person or a candidate who has your best interest at heart.
That's right.
If someone does not have that at heart, you're hurting yourself. You're putting someone in there who is not going to serve your means.
That's right.
They're serving someone else. And we're not a rich city. We can't afford to keep doing that.
Nope.
We have to change the way we do things.
Exactly.
So that's what I offer going forward from here.
Exactly. So, I want you guys, thank you, Mr. Porter, for coming on every Tuesday and Thursday. And I mean, he graced us with so much good information. And he directs us in the way that he wants to let us know that he's not just concerned about him. He's concerned about the community in its whole, as a whole. He does a lot of things you guys have no idea he does because he doesn't have time to sit and list the stuff that he does. He's always doing something. And I'm not saying that to get you guys to vote for him or anything. I'm just telling you from what I know on a personal basis. Because he don't have to do this. He doesn't have to come on our show and give us this information and share it with us. So there has to be a relationship somewhere where he's able to do this and feel comfortable enough to do it with us. Okay? So I want you to understand that he has to be comfortable and self-assured that we're not trying to sabotage him. I tell you what, his popularity went up since he's been on the show. That's for damn sure. Whether it's good or bad, popularity is up, okay? But he does. He does it.
Slowly but surely, uh-huh. Change the dialogue.
Yeah, that's right. Change the dialogue. That's right.
Whether it was about drainage, about flooding, mm-hmm. if it was about affordable homes, if it was about Johnny Downs,
mm-hmm.
if eventually we moved the needle
a little bit
from what the original discussion was. And beliefs.
That's right. We moved the needle enough to have everybody. Huh?
Whether it was about that hotel, you might as well say they gave away for free.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
Holiday Inn.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, it was not there for Mr. Porter. We would have known that.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. Mr. Porter and Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller was another one who was informing us about that, too, about the hotel. Y'all know Holiday Inn. Y'all got that house. Let me tell you. Y'all city gave the Holiday Inn to the guy who owns Holiday Inn, free and clear. Yeah. It was a, what, $5 million or $3 million, what's the name? Was it three or five?
It was more than that. It was supposed to be $7
million. $7
million. They put $1 million up.
Okay.
And the city went in and made expensive improvements and repair to the structure.
Uh-huh.
And then Jack Roy tore up the rest of the bill or the due.
So they got $6 million in a free hotel. $7 million in a free hotel. Holiday Inn downtown.
Wow.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. Okay?
Jack Roy tore up the promissory note to
the Holiday Inn. Sure did.
Right.
Okay, so y'all got the information. I hope we didn't overwhelm you with a lot of information because we shared a lot here tonight. We will definitely be back. Hopefully nothing happens. We'll be back Tuesday. And we'll be definitely continuing with this because I just want to keep you guys, we want to make sure that you guys are very much informed. And if you don't believe what we say, just go back and find the information yourself. We don't have a reason to lie. We just don't. It don't benefit us to lie to you about anything that we talk to you on here. Go back, look at the city council meetings, okay? As a matter of fact, if you go to Universal Collective Network, I think some of our city council meetings are on there because we've been recording council meetings for a while. Most of them are in full length. So you can see what we're talking about. You can go to Channel 4 and check it out. All that information is out there. And you can also go to the City of Alexandria's website and look at all that. And then you can go to Board of Ethics and look at where the money goes. Follow that money because it's going to tell you everything. Okay? So I'm going to let you guys go. You guys have a great night. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Watch your babies. Have a good time. That's all I can tell you. Just be careful. Good night, sweeties. Good night, you guys. Thank you. Thank you for all the input. Bye-bye. Right, let me...
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye, sweetie. Okay. So that's done. But again, you guys, I want you to take time out when you have time. I know your days are very busy, but take time out and kind of, if you really, really, really want to see something change in your communities, in your districts, you've got to do the work. You've got to talk to your neighbors. You've got to talk to other people in your community and get them to understand how important it is for things to change for you guys. You guys, it's in your hand now. The ball is in your court. So you guys have a great night. We love you here at Can You Be Frank Show. Good night, you guys. Bye-bye.